3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to Fun Fact Friday. I'm your host, Leela.
And I'm your other host, David. I'm Leela's dad.
Fun Fact Friday is a weekly podcast where we discuss fun facts surrounding a different topic each week.
Fact sources will be in the show notes for each episode. If you have a fun fact you'd like to share or a correction for us, you can send them to mail@funfactfriday.com.
Let's get to it.
And so, Leela, what's our theme today?
Superstitions.
Superstitions. I love superstitions. What did you find for us?
I found one on knocking on wood.
Oh, there's a rich history on that one.
There is. I think there's a couple backgrounds for it, but
mm-hmm.
The one that I found specifically is knocking on wood, there is a belief that spirits and gods resided in trees. So knocking on the tree trunks is therefore an attempt to rouse the god and call upon them for protection and good luck for them.
Okay, yeah. And they also would knock on wood to either show the gratitude for a stroke of good luck or to chase away evil spirits when they were going to be boastful about their luck. Because the evil spirits, if they heard somebody talking about, oh, I've been so lucky lately, they'll be like, oh, ho, ho, I can put a change to that. And they would reverse their fortune. So they would knock on the wood to scare away spirits that would want to reverse their fortune.
See, that's what we do. We, like, if we say something good about ourselves, like, I haven't broken a bone before.
Knock on wood. When I do it, I always knock on wood. So I time it with the taps and the words. There is a more modern interpretation of where knock on wood comes from.
Yes.
In the book The Lore of the Playground by British folklorist Steve Roud, he traces the practice back to 19th century in Britain. There's a game called Tiggy Touchwood. And it's kind of like tag, and you would be safe if you would touch a door or a tree or something made out of wood. The game is concerned with protection. So, you know, like when you're playing tag, you got to get to a certain spot to be safe. Well, yes. This was always a piece of wood. You had to find a piece of wood to touch. The folklorist, Mr. Roud, believes that the older interpretations of knock on wood for safety and fortune are nonsense. He believes that they're, in quotes, saying that these are complete nonsense. A lot of the superstitions we're going to talk about in this episode have different origins in different cultures. So we're going to hear maybe competing ideas of where they come from. Or it may just be an amalgamation of both and they kind of built upon each other. I've got one that you may have heard. It's bad luck to open umbrellas indoors. Have you heard that one?
Yes, I have. My mom enforces it in our family.
Yes, she does. Which normally we leave the umbrellas in the garage anyway, but again, there are multiple different possible origins on this one. One of them goes back to the ancient Egyptian times, the superstitions that surround the pharaoh's sunshades. They're different than standard rain gear of today, but most people believe that the more modern origin of not opening an umbrella in the house is the correct one. And it goes to 18th century London. This comes from Charles Penati in Extraordinary Origins of Everyday Things. And he talks about how older umbrellas were not very well made, and the springs in them would cause problems because they would pop out and the metal pieces of the umbrella would, you know, go springing around the room and break fragile things or hurt children. So
that's very understandable.
It is an understandable one. Over time, they started talking, you know, about how can we get people to stop opening umbrellas in the house. And everybody was real superstitious in the 18th century in London. So they were like, oh, it's super unlucky. Yeah, this is just bad luck to open an umbrella. You shouldn't do that. You'd think that they could just tell people, you might hurt somebody. But I guess telling people that wouldn't do it, I guess you had to tell them it was unlucky. People's motivations are weird sometimes.
Yes. I have one from Germany.
Germany.
Germans can't wish someone a happy birthday early because it is considered rude and supposedly brings bad luck. Some Germans get extremely offended about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
So,
even if they're not superstitious otherwise. So,
oh, so it's, yeah, it's really it's a huge cultural thing there.
So, I bet it is.
Oh, hey, is it your birthday today? No. Don't wish me happy birthday. It's bad luck.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would be the worst. I guess, yeah. Nowadays it's not as hard. Most people keep up with other people's birthdays based on their Facebook calendars. But.
Yes.
So spilling salt. Have you heard that spilling salt is unlucky?
Yes.
Spilling salt has been unlucky for thousands of years. The ancient Sumerians, as far back as 3500 BC, considered it unlucky and would nullify the bad luck by throwing a pinch of salt over your left shoulder. Oddly enough, it's said that throwing salt over the left shoulder blinds the devil who's waiting there to force you into acts of bad behavior.
So. Yes, whenever I spill salt, I always throw it over my left shoulder.
And Leela cooks a lot, so
I'm sure she... I spill a lot of salt.
Yes, she does. If you spilled the salt, you must be the one to throw it over your shoulder if you want to thwart the bad luck. If you're the superstitious type or just like to play it safe, it probably wouldn't hurt to toss a little pinch of sodium chloride over your left shoulder should you accidentally spill some. You never know what might be lurking behind you. My wife is a big advocate of throwing salt over the left shoulder. I had never actually heard this one before I had met my wife.
Really?
What feels like a million years ago, yes.
Wow.
Maybe I'd seen somebody do it, but I didn't know what they were doing, and, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah.
I did not grow up in a very superstitious household, but my wife, she's a big advocate of why not,
Yeah.
Why not? Why tempt fate?
And now something completely different.
And now for something completely different.
Opening and closing scissors in, I believe it is Egypt, is unheard of. You're supposedly cutting airborne evil spirits, and they will be angered.
So there's evil spirits just floating around?
Yep.
And if you're just snip, 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 you're chopping up the evil spirits and they're going to get mad at you? That, I've never heard that one before. You wonder how something like that came about. I wonder if there was some kid playing with his mom's scissors and just, and he's like, oh, don't do that. Because it was just annoying her. But she's like, you're going to hurt the evil spirits and then they'll give you bad luck. I wonder how a lot of these things get started.
Oh, really, like, mommy? Really.
you hear about the, quote, origins of these. And then you're like, I wonder how it really happened. But yeah. We're trying to give you the best information that the people who've really looked into these things have.
Yes.
So.
We're giving you what we got.
When someone sneezes, what do you say, Leela?
Bless you.
Bless you, or Gesundheit, right?
Yes.
Well, in most English-speaking countries, that's what we say. We say bless you, or God bless you, or some other incarnation. And it's been that way for thousands of years, across all cultures. Our particular custom began in the 6th century A.D., by explicit order from Pope Gregory the Great. Apparently there was a terrible pestilence that was spreading in Italy at the time, and the first symptom was a severe chronic sneezing, and it was often followed by death, a quick death.
Oh.
Yes. Pope Gregory urged for the healthy to pray for the sick and ordered a lighthearted response such as, may you enjoy good health, might be replaced with more urgent, God bless you. If you sneezed while you were alone, the Pope recommended that you say a prayer for yourself in the form of, God help me. So that goes back to 6th century AD. That's 1500 years ago. Long time saying the same thing.
It is a long time.
Yeah. God help me. I'm going to start yelling that every time I sneeze when nobody's around. And I'm going to shout it.
So who believed that?
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but like, was it the Romans, the Germans, anyone?
Well, anybody Catholic. Pope Gregory the Great was the leader of the Catholic Church at the time, as you know, the Pope is. Maybe we'll do some different Fun Fact Fridays about the different religions and their histories.
Yeah. Well, ancient Romans believed that mirrors contained fragments of our soul, so breaking one signified a break in someone's health and well-being. Luckily, they also believed that souls regenerated every 7 years, the amount of time that a mirror breaker would be unlucky before they emerged new and whole again.
I've heard that over the 7 year thing, I've heard that pretty much all of your cells in your body, except for your nerve cells, are pretty much replaced every 7 years. I mean, at different speeds, like your skin is replaced at a different speed than your eye cells. They're all replaced, but by the time a 7 year hits, then you've pretty much been completely replaced except for your nervous system.
Yep.
I'd have to look that up and find out how that exactly works. That would be an interesting episode topic also.
Okay.
Mirrors, though. I have a different origin of the broken mirror superstition. This comes from Live Science. And in ancient Greece, it was common for people to consult mirror seers, who told their fortunes by analyzing their reflections, and like looking into a crystal ball, but a mirror instead. Milton Goldsmith, a historian, in his book Signs, Omens, and Superstitions, explains, divination was performed by means of water and a looking glass. This was called catopromancy. The mirror was dipped into the water, and a sick person was asked to look in the glass. If his image appeared distorted, he was likely to die. If clear, he would live. Now, come around to the 1st century AD, the Romans added, which is what you were talking about.
Yes.
7 year cycle thing. And the distorted image resulting from a broken mirror meant 7 years of ill health and misfortune rather than outright death. So you see, it started back in ancient Greece, but then as time went on, the superstition moved over to Roman superstitions. Okay. It's interesting how they travel, the superstitions and change. Imagine what we're going to have, you know, 1,000 years from now, based on what some of the superstitions we do now, like not walking under a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk under an elevator, which, you know, why would you anyway?
Okay. Speaking of reflection, according to the Turkish Ministry of Culture, those who drink water that reflects moonlight will have bad luck. Hmm. Bathing in that water seems to be okay, though. According to the ministry, people who bathe under moonlight and in the shadow will shine as bright as the moon.
So, if you're out at a lake and the moon is, you know, up there shining down and you got the moonlight shining on you while you're taking a bath in the lake, you're gonna shine your skin?
I guess so.
You'd think that would be pretty easy to test and make it not a superstition. Most of the superstitions involve things like luck, which is an intangible. So this, you know, making shine as bright as the moon, maybe it means internally, like you become a better person or something? I don't know.
I guess so.
I don't know. I had never heard that one before. Bad luck to drink water that reflects moonlight. The number 13 is unlucky. I'm sure you've heard that. Everybody has.
I've heard that.
Do you know what it's called if you're afraid of the number 13?
Nope.
I'm going to try and say it. Triskaidekaphobia.
Okay.
Yes. You know how I love weird words. Yes. It has its origins in Norse mythology. I messed up Norse. It has its origins in Norse mythology. A well-known tale, 12 gods were invited to dine in Valhalla, a magnificent banquet hall in Asgard, and the city of the gods. Loki, the god of strife and evil, crashed the party, raising the number of attendees to 13. The other gods tried to kick Loki out, and the struggle ensued. Baldur, the favorite among them, was killed. Scandinavian avoidance of 13-member dinner parties and dislike of the number 13 itself spread south to the rest of Europe. It was reinforced in the Christian era by the story of the Last Supper, in which Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, was the 13th guest at the table. Many people still shy away from the number 13, and certain buildings don't have a 13th floor. Some airports don't have a 13th terminal, because they believe that some people are so superstitious that they would avoid flights that departed from Terminal 13.
Wow.
Yeah. Some people are really superstitious, sports fans particularly. I know people who believe that the socks that they're wearing while they watch a sports team on TV will have some effect on whether or not the sports team plays well. So, you know. And well, I'm not saying it doesn't. Who knows? Maybe it does. But people are superstitious about lots of different things, and there's an origin to all of them somewhere out there.
Well, that was all of my facts.
Fun Fact Friday with Leland David is a Metis Media production.
All rights reserved unless otherwise stated.
If you'd like to help support the show, you can make a donation via Patreon or PayPal over at funfactfriday.com. Just click the donations link at the top of the page. Our theme music is written and recorded by
me, Leila. Have a great weekend, folks, and we hope you'll subscribe and join us on the next Fun Fact Friday with Leila and David.
Turkey.
I have to wait for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Oh.